Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Stand to your feet as we welcome our Senior Pastor, Dr. Gerard Curry.
Take your Bible in your hand, shake it all about. Let's make a faith statement. You ready? Let's say it. This is my Bible. As I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God's word, I see myself as God sees me. I am who he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive. My mind is alert. And I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated.
Yesterday, we were looking at getting some vital information that will help our lives. And what we saw was when you're in school, you get taught, and then at the end of the year, you get an exam or a test, and it's a closed book test. That's how it was in South Africa. I want you to know you're getting a whole lot of word right now and sitting in churches, and then you don't get in a written exam, but your life is your exam. Your life is your test. But there is some good news. Let's continue in the word yesterday.
Now, when you do your exams, in South Africa, when we did an exam, boy, they separated the desks even further. There was nothing around you. We didn't have telephones then anyway. I mean, really. And you had to park your dinosaur outside and no one talking to you. And if you just spoke to someone, my God, you're cheating, and you'd be in the principal's office and he knew you. Oh, he knew you by name. Really, not by Facebook. He knew me by person. Me and him, we had a great relationship. Me and my principal, oh, he loved me. Curry, what is it this time? So I'm just going to bend. You know, let's not discuss it. Just whack. How many of you had corporal punishment days in school? Woo! Wearing 5 pairs of underwear. You remember those days? You put on weight? Yes! But you weren't allowed to talk to anyone, look at anyone, and get no information from anyone, and the book was closed. Well, I've got good news for you. The test that you have outside there. Yeah. It's an open book test. You can whip out your phone. While you're walking down the road, you can whip out your phone and say, hang on a second, I remember something about, pastor said, Isaiah 53, 4, 5, let's just check it. Yeah, and then, hey, I am healed by his stripes. Whoa, stop, devil. No entry here, devil. I resist you, devil. I put up my guard and my shield of faith up against you, devil. Now listen, he said, if you've got a measure of faith, he said, you can cast a mountain into the ocean. And we've all got the measure of faith. So we've all got faith. So when you say, well, why are things not working in my life? Why am I not seeing the results? It's not because of a lack of faith, but it's because of the presence of unbelief.
That's right.
Remember the guy when they tried to cast out the demon and they couldn't, the disciples, and they came to Jesus and said, can you cast him out? And he looked at them and said, you bunch of noodle hoggins, how long must I live with you? How long must I suffer with you guys? How long? In other words, why haven't you done it?
That's right.
Moses, don't ask me, do it.
That's right.
Come on. Why did you not do it? That means they could have done it.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
That's right.
And then he says to the Father, I will cast him out. Do you believe? And he said, I believe, help my unbelief.
Right.
You see, many of us have faith, but we don't believe the faith that's in us.
Right.
We don't believe what we believe. Come on.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, we'll say the right things. We'll say the right things. You know, the money's coming. Thank you, Lord. I'll not get the money. Phone the pastor and just let him know by hints how much we need. Pastor, I need you to pray with me because if I don't pay my electricity by yesterday, the lights are going off by tomorrow. Come on. But I've prayed, Pastor, I've prayed. Oh, that's great, then I'll stand in agreement with you.
Yeah.
We don't do that. But you know what I'm saying? We don't believe our belief. We don't believe the faith that's inside of us. We've all got the faith. It's not a lack of faith that's there. It's a presence of unbelief.
Yeah.
And one way to get that presence of unbelief out of you is to get a relationship.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
The chief best way to get unbelief out is to get a relationship with God. Because when you know God, not about God, when you know God, not about God, when you know God, not about God, your faith will produce and get rid of unbelief. Can you say amen? And so one of the greatest wiles, listen to this. You think this devil can't get you. God says in the end times, even if it were possible that the elect are going to be deceived. Am I right, Dr. Rick? Even the elect, that means the born again children of God are going to be deceived. And we see it all around us. We see it right now. You see churches. I mean, you see denominations agreeing with the lies of the devil. Deceived. Deception, right? It's happening in front of our eyes. Right now, it's taking place. One of his greatest, oh my God, one of his greatest wiles is lifeless religious thinking and tradition. That's one of his schemes, is religious tradition beliefs. Now, how many of you believe that God's word is all powerful? Let me see your hands. I mean, God's word can do anything. It's all powerful. Is that correct? Mark 7:13. Look what he says here. Making the word of God of no effect. This powerful word that can do anything can be made of no effect in your own life. How? Through the tradition which you have handed down and many such things you do. The power of the word of God, which says the word of God is living and alive and powerful and sharper and quicker than any two-edged sword. I can nullify that word by my traditional beliefs and thinking. Trash that I've been taught. Come on. That's why it says study to show yourself approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He says rightly dividing the word of truth means there is a way to divide it wrongly. Yeah. And I've heard ministers say it, God's not healing everybody. Wrongly divided. Yeah. Don't go by tradition and religious beliefs because that's going to harm you. The voice says, do you think God wants to honor your traditions that you have passed down? This is only one of many places where you are blind. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Right there you can see the answer. But like I said, you must know this. See, I get pictures to keep you entertained like kids. The raw can't hurt you. It has no power over you. It's got no power over you. Listen. There's no power in that. Nothing whatsoever. But your response to that roar can harm your life, can destroy your life. When you hear that it's sickness unto death, when you hear you'll never get the money, when you hear he's going to divorce you, she's going to divorce you, when you hear all these things, how you respond in that moment determines if the roar has got you or you've got him. I'm going to give you a perfect example in Scripture. Eve. Think about Eve. Challenging what the Word of God was and who God was by the wiles of the enemy. Did God really say in Genesis 3, did God really say? I mean, think of those, the way he does that. You know what I'm saying? Hey, we need to pray for Pastor Rick. Just the two of us talking in the dark behind the shadow in the tree, you understand? We need to pray for Dr. Rick. Wow, what's happened to him? No, just he needs our prayer. Just sowing seeds of doubt and distrust and unbelief. That's how the sleuth operates. Yeah. Nothing wrong with Dr. Rick. I'm just giving you a heads up, okay? And did God really say that you can't eat? And then she adds her own. Listen, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. So now she says, God said, not only can I eat it, but I mustn't even touch it. He never said that. That's right. He didn't say that. And did the devil come, did he say you can't eat of any of the trees? And just so sly, so sneaky, so disgusting. Amen. And that was the roar of the enemy. And unfortunately, that roar affected not only her, but all of us. You understand? She reacted incorrectly to the roar of the enemy. But she didn't know what we know right now, amen? Listen to this. I'm going to give you an effective roar of the enemy. You want to hear an effective roar of the enemy? Listen, think about this. Poverty is next to holiness. I grew up believing to be poor was to be holy. The denomination I was in. I didn't know it was. And so I lived broke. I'm not joking. I had a mindset to be broke was to be holy. And I want to be holy. I love God. I've always loved God. And I want to be holy to God and do what God wants. And apparently money's bad news. And in actual fact, think about this. Whole denominations have followed that rule. Whole denominations take a vow of poverty. Think about it. I mean, talk about deception, Dr. Rick. I mean, what a deception that they take a vow of poverty. And God said, the gold and the bdellium there, look, he showed them that stuff right in the garden. The good stuff. And yet we take a vow of poverty. God is not, someone said this, God is not against us having money. He's against money having us. We've all heard that said before, right? Well, 1 Timothy 6:10, it's not the money that's the problem. It's the love of the money. It's the love of the money that's the problem. Amen. And I need money. Listen to what he says. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. If we keep God and his work as first priority in our lives, there's no end to the prosperity that he'll do to us and through us. Just keep his word as a priority in your life. He will bless you. He said, I will bless you so you can bless others. I don't know about you. If I've only got $100 and I owe $500 for my rent or something, I can't bless you. Hello, if I battle every month to pay my mortgage, I battle every month to pay my car, to pay my insurance, I'm battling just to get by, and I'm living from check to check, paycheck to paycheck, how am I going to bless you?
Come on, that's right.
I can't bless you. But when God blesses me with an abundance, he said to Abraham, I'm going to make you a blessing so you can bless others. Yeah. So if you come in there with a mindset of, I want money, gimme, 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 you got a problem, you're not going to getty.
Yeah.
You're going to have a mindset to help,
yeah.
Help people. Help people.
Amen.
Amen. God is not asking us to take a vow of poverty. He's taking us to take a vow of priorities.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Whole denominations through one little rule, denominations are falling trap. You want to hear another one? What about this one? This one, I mean, like, I think it's just nuts. And denominations have got a hold of this as well. Taking a vow of silence. Remember, your religious traditional thinking can nullify the word of God. Did God not say, you speak to the mountain? Did not God say, let the weak say they are strong? Did God not say that you should call things that are not as though they were? Did not God say in front of the disciples, you can cast that mountain by the things you say? My God, look at this. Mark 11:23. For assuredly, I say to you, whosoever says, everyone say says. Says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says shall be done. He will have whatever he says. But I've taken a vow of poverty, of silence. I've taken a vow of silence. Trying to be holy, trying to please God, taking a vow of silence. And I used to think it's such a noble thing. It is a noble thing to want to bless God and please God. But he says, study the scriptures so you can discern the truth and divide it correctly. Those people that do that kind of thing, they're people that they jump into thorn trees for repentance. Easter comes, people are getting nailed to crosses. I mean, doing it all over the Philippines and places like that, they get nailed to a cross, trying to make atonement for their sins.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful Tradition Square Town Hall facility.
The Church of the Holy Spirit in Palm City, Florida invites you to join us in prayer for revival. And tune into this station every Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and p.m. for Glorious Day, a program of spiritual edification and encouragement.